Views expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of this station, staff, or management. The following pre-recorded program is sponsored by Tabes Tech, LLC. This is Pro Business Colorado with your host, Dave Tabor, on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor is a show about spirit, the spirit of opportunity created by people who could be successful anywhere and choose to start and grow businesses here in Colorado. Whether it's having a business meeting during a bike ride or that special kind of collaboration that goes on here in Colorado, I get jazzed talking with dynamic people, with interesting businesses, and with subject matter experts who get that Colorado is special. All my guests are people who love Colorado. They inspire me, and they can inspire you to do well and offer ideas to help us succeed in business. And today I'm joined by Kim Kapunis, director of B-Lab, investor and advisor of My Trail Company, and co-founder, CEO, and chief sustainability of Go Light. And many of you have probably owned Go Light products. So welcome, Kim. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Dave. It's really a privilege and an honor to be here.
I'm glad you are. And you brought some other guests with you. Kim brought along with her, I've got a PAC studio, Kirby Myers, the CEO of Communications Refinery, and John Paul Maxfield, who's CEO of Waste Farmers. Both of you guys do business, do work with B-Lab and our B corporations, right? Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
Appreciate
Great to
it.
Be here.
Yep.
Thank you.
And we'll be talking about your businesses. We'll be talking about working together as B corporations, and we'll talk about all that in just a minute. I think one of the things I want to make sure we do is talk about examples of your companies and others who succeed by measuring and improving their impact on workers, communities, and the environment, and what listeners can learn from and apply in their own companies about that. So be sure this show will be available via podcast on Monday. Be sure to check out that Pro Business Colorado podcast, today's show, and others like the CEO of Otterbox, the CEO of Zeal Optics, Full Contact, Pharmajet, American Furniture Warehouse. All of those guests are available via my website at proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. And so now it's time, of course, to welcome Kim Kapunis of B-Lab, J.P. Maxfield of Waste Farmers, and Kirby Myers of Communications Refinery. You guys ready to dive in?
Rock and roll.
Good. All right. So, Kim, let's start with you. First thing, describe what B-Lab is and maybe the context, too, of what a B Corporation is all about.
Absolutely. So B-Lab is a nonprofit. We're a global nonprofit. We happen to be based on the East Coast of the United States. And I represent the Colorado office of B-Lab. And what B-Lab does is certify companies that are demonstrably better from a performance standpoint on social and environmental practice. And there are about 2,000 certified B corporations around the world in over 50 countries, every sector and size company imaginable. The companies we are talking to today are amazing leaders within the landscape of businesses here in Colorado. And it's a voluntary certification. To become a B Corp means that you are leading the way and showing that you can do well as a business while you do good, or you use your business as a force for good in the world.
You know, one guy came to mind, one of my favorite authors and speakers came to mind as we were getting ready for today. And I'm going to ask Timothy in the booth to play a clip by Simon Sinek. And that's number 63. Can you play that, please?
People don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. And what you do simply proves what you believe. In fact, people will do the things that prove what they believe.
Is that sort of the essence of what a B Corporation is all about?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that you can get into the weeds around the metrics of how they're a good employer and the practices that they have around benefits and how they give back to the community and how much better they are for the environment. But what's really at the heart of this is that these are mission-driven companies. They are in the world to proactively use their business as a force for good, to do something different than the typical business out there.
Well, and when you say mission-driven, every company is mission-driven. Some missions are purely defined by profitability and others. So speak to that.
Sure. I mean, every B Corporation in the world would say that they're in the business to make money. They also are in the business to do good while they're at it. And that means often taking care of a specific stakeholder that is important to them, whether that's the environment or their employee base. I'll give you one example. There's a great company in Yonkers, New York called Grayston Bakery. And they say that they're in the business of they make brownies to employ people. They don't employ people to make brownies. And their mission is not just to make these fantastic brownies that are actually the brownies that go into Ben & Jerry's ice cream, but really they're in the business of providing employment to people that otherwise couldn't get a job. And it's, if you want to get the really understand the power of using business as a force for good, look up on YouTube some videos about Grayston Bakery. They're an amazing company. Mm.
Well, if you've just joined us, I want to let the listeners know that that was Kim Kapunis of B Lab Corporation representing B Corporations in Colorado. And you were about to jump in, weren't you?
Yeah, Dave, I just wanted to add the Simon Sinek clip. I think it's very appropriate. I believe that's from his Go to Your Why TED Talk, which is I've worked with some companies, worked with some groups, and we've really tried to get to that because it goes beyond the bottom line. It goes to why do you exist? And it's also very interesting tying it back with local B Corp, a former B Corp. They were Rally Software up in Boulder, which was acquired by CA Technologies last year, I believe. Mm-hmm. One of the first B Lab events, local B Lab, B Corp events I went to, one of their founders, Ryan Martins, was asked kind of about what does it mean to be a B Corp. And he said, you know, people ask me what our company does, and I respond with why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, to me, encapsulates, and it ties into the Simon Sinek piece of just why you're there, what's your purpose. And so it's much more than just we write code and sell it. Right.
So, you know, that's interesting. And you've just been listening to Kirby Myers, who's the CEO of Communications Refinery, which is a B corporation. So here's what went through my mind when you said, when you described Rally Software and that it was sold. So can a company, once it's sold to a bigger company, stay motivated by those kinds of things that attracted its employees and its customers to begin with? Kim, you're smiling.
I am smiling, yeah. And I think Rally Software is a great company. They didn't maintain their B Corp certification, which many companies do, but in their particular circumstance, they didn't. But they've been working really hard to bring the values of how they do business into CA Technologies. But there are many examples of companies that have been acquired by much larger corporations, Ben & Jerry's being one of them. They were acquired by Unilever. And they've kind of been the virus in the machine. They bring these really powerful social and environmental values into a multinational conglomerate like Unilever, and it starts to change how Unilever thinks about their business.
You know, that's interesting, and we've got just a little bit of time left in this segment. One of the things I want to talk about when we get back, and I certainly want to involve J.P. Maxfield of Waste Farmers when we come back as well. One of the things I want to talk about is this notion of, should everyone be, you know, driven by some sort of social good? And is this a trend that everyone needs to embrace? And from our listeners' perspective, is that just part of being a successful business going forward? We're going to talk about that. This, by the way, this segment will be available at proco360.com. This podcast will be available at proco360.com. We're going to come back with three leaders of great companies doing good in Colorado after this.
News Talk 710. KNUS.
Pro Business Colorado with me, Dave Tabor, is a show featuring world-class entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose to be here in Colorado. Sign up at proco360.com for announcements of each week's guests, to suggest guests, and to find past shows featuring successful entrepreneurs and business experts, all whose souls are grounded here in Colorado. Again, that's proco360.com to sign up, proco360.com.
Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, Sunday mornings at 8 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hey, Craig Silverman here. What makes William Crow Jewelers different and better than anywhere else? They offer custom jewelry design in-house with professional jewelers, and you're right there at every step of the process, making the finished piece of jewelry all that much more special and unique. Gentlemen, it's springtime. Love is in the air. Isn't it time to finally start thinking about designing your dream engagement ring? William Crow has Bench Jewelers in-house to help you create that one-of-a-kind ring that she will love. A Bench Jeweler is an artisan who uses a combination of jewelry-making skills to make and repair jewelry. At William Crow, they have diamonds in all shapes and sizes and for every budget. Come in and talk to the professionals at William Crow about that special custom designed piece of jewelry. William Crow's been in Denver for over 90 years and they're such a trusted institution. It's a family values rooted business. None of the staff works on commission. Everyone there believes in good old fashioned customer service. Located in downtown Denver at the corner of the 16th Street Mall in Champa, it's right there on the light rail stop. Online at williamcrow.com. They are William Crow Jewelry, making Denver sparkle since 1924. before.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes, a strategy that might work for you. The smart move is for you to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
We now return to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710. KNUS.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. And I'm speaking with Kim Kupinas, director of B-Lab. And also, she's an investor and advisor at MyTrail Company, a company that's getting launched and getting its wings now. She's she was co-founder and CEO and chief sustainability officer at GoLight, a company many Coloradans know quite a bit about. Also, I've got a full studio today because I'm joined by Kirby Myers, CEO of Communications Refinery, and JP Maxfield, CEO of Waste Farmers. We're going to get to JP in just a second. We're talking about succeeding by measuring and improving impact on workers, communities, and the environment, and what you can apply based on those examples. And first, I want to thank our great sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado, MicroStar Keg Logistics, and American Furniture Warehouse. Those companies support this show because they support Colorado entrepreneurism, and they've been great, great supporters in that community. Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, a show about entrepreneurs and experts who could be successful anywhere and choose to start and grow their businesses here in Colorado. So let's keep going with this interview. And I want to turn to JP because on your website, it states your belief that idealism and capitalism can coexist. So what's your take on that?
Sure. So I guess back in 2005, I started a blog called The Inspired Economy that kind of talks about this transition in business. And this connection between idealism and capitalism kind of gets to the segment you played by Simon with regard to why being purpose, sort of existential. And for us, when we started the company, we started to change the world. That was sort of in vogue at the time, back in 2009.
Yeah, changing the world. Hopefully, it's always in vogue. Right. But explain your business too, so listeners have a context.
Easiest way for those not familiar with agriculture is if you know Cargill and Monsanto, which a lot of people know. Think about us like a Whole Foods or Patagonia version of those companies. We're a sustainable agriculture company, but to get back to the Simon piece, purpose is what companies, you know, should be sort of focused on. But in large part, it's because, people are seeking purpose. Mm-hmm. And in a developed world where 90% of our time is spent at work, why not make, the work that we do purposeful?
Is seeking purpose, a luxury of developed countries?
A big question.
Yeah.
It depends. I think once on a hierarchy of needs, once you get past a certain level, there's probably some of that, but I think it's something, universally human.
That's right.
And I think that, you know, how we actualize that or find that varies from place to place, but business is a really powerful tool in this context. And you asked, you know, is this a necessity of companies moving forward? And I believe it is because I think, it's going to be an expectation of the people joining the workforce.
Well, that and I know you've got a comment too, Kirby. I wanted to, you know, that notion of is it going to be essential going forward? You know, this notion of doing good as a business practice, I mean, that used to be sort of novel, right? I mean, companies did it as a competitive differentiator. I mean, that was how they stood out. I mean, I can think of a shoe company that would give away a pair of shoes for everyone they sold. And you mentioned, Kim, you mentioned Ben & Jerry's, of course. Patagonia now famously says, you know, only buy what you need. So it seems now that what was a niche is now like a bandwagon. So what do you think about that, Kirby? I mean, Kirby's company, Communications Refinery, is all about communicating these kinds of things that companies are doing, right?
Right. Communicating and helping with strategy in these areas. And just quickly on the, you know, is it a developed world luxury? I do think about fair growth.
Fair trade.
Thank you. Fair trade coffee. That's really a drive to give people a good living from doing what they do and not just pillaging and taking the coffee and taking it to the luxury world, first world from the third world, and treating them fairly. So there's a lot around that. And in terms of more holistically, I do think it has become more commonplace, because when you start to see companies blow up and not do it, there's big blowback. One example recently is Wells Fargo, and they used to be built around one Wells Fargo. And their whole premise on that, as they promoted publicly on their website, was to, if we do right by our team members, our customers, and our communities, we'll have a good business, and we will be good for shareholders. And when they started to hand out accounts and products that people didn't ask for, they got called on it, and they got blowback. They lost market value, and they got fined.
Yeah, so getting back to this question, and I think everyone's pretty well aware of that example of things you probably had to deal with as a PR firm. I want to get back to this core notion of doing good. Is this a growth strategy that companies need to embrace? From a, you know, it seems like your companies, both of you, at Communications Refinery and at Waste Farmers, you know, you're doing it because you want to. And then, Kim, I'm going to turn to you. Are there companies that want to be B corporations because they see it as their strategy? And is there a difference?
Well, I would say that most companies that go through the very rigorous process of becoming a B corporation have this deeply embedded in how they think about their role in society. And, you know, you can think about, for folks who are not familiar with this, B corporations are kind of like LEED certification for a building, or organic for milk, or Good Housekeeping seal of approval. But it looks at everything that a company does in terms of how it acts in the world. And, you know, I want to pull up a little bit and say that we are at a pivot point in society. Our civilization has so many intractable problems that cannot be solved by government and NGOs and nonprofits alone. If the power of business can't be mobilized to solve some of these problems, then we're really up a crick. hate to be a naysayer, but there is so much good that companies around the world can do if they focus on being good employers and creating good jobs, if they focus on making their widgets in a responsible way, if they focus on being proactively good members of the community. And that's all I'd say about that.
You know, that's okay. I mean, because when you're talking, here's what I'm thinking is that this is only, or I shouldn't say, this is primarily demonstrated by small companies. You know, I don't see big companies doing this. A few that are recognizable brands, but how many large – and I do know of a few companies. Ball Corporation is a great Colorado company that's driven, I think, by some of those same values, right? So what's your take on small versus large, and can a company grow from a small company that's mission-focused to one that's bigger?
So can I answer that?
Sure, jump right in.
So we've grown 100% year over year the last 2 years. And we're on trend to probably continue that growth rate for the next two.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's funny. We had our all hands meeting this year, which was a great moment, like moving from entrepreneur to CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meeting, I told you that, you know, where we started was we want to change the world. Like, that was the core. But this year, there's a Rumi quote for all my spiritual friends out there that says, I was clever and wanted to change the world, and then I got wise and decided to change myself. And so the focus of this year is, how do we take this vehicle that we've created and turn it into the best possible mechanism to help us change ourselves, this organism that we've created, and then thereby sort of change the world. I think that the aspect of growth, they're often talked about sort of as two separate things, but in terms of, you know, growth or social responsibility. And I think it's not a strategy. It's just sort of an authentic way of being that, you know, makes sense for who we are and how we want to grow our organization.
I would add something, Dave. You know, there are over 2,000 B Corps in the world, and we have everything from companies that are as large as $3 billion to single person sole proprietorships and everything in between.
What's your $3 billion company?
It's a company called Natura in Brazil, an amazing company that's sold around the world. And it, they worked really hard to achieve that certification. And we're not saying that every company needs to be a B Corp, these kind of beacon lighthouse businesses. What we're saying is it would be great if every company tried to act like a B Corp and started measuring and improving their impacts. When a company the size of Walmart makes a change in how they employ people or how they run their operations from an environmental standpoint, the impacts are enormous. And so we are starting to see a trend in very large corporations, including Unilever, making public commitments to some pretty aggressive goals around sustainability. It's exciting.
So you're saying that the B Corp is like the tail that's starting to wag the dog. I mean, as they're setting these role models, they may not be – these larger companies may not be doing everything that a B Corp does, but they're shifting in ways that are – constructive.
Absolutely.
Can I add one thing to sort of finish that?
Sure. And this is J.P. Maxfield of Waste Farmers. Go.
The aspect that I failed to mention was when we started out, we were so focused on changing the world that we forgot at the core of what we needed to do was make money. And so in the slide presentation, the companies that we hold up as companies that are sort of models for what we wanted to do, companies like Patagonia and New Belgium, you mentioned Ben & Jerry's, I showed the dates, you know, I might get these wrong, like 1973 for Patagonia or Ben & Jerry's, 1978, 1991 for New Belgium. And what I said is we are babies compared to those companies. And I just had a baby. Her name is Poppy. She's a sweet little girl. In terms of like growth from a Eastern medicine perspective, the growth of a child is very yawn focused initially, like masculine energy. And then you develop the platform and you get a yin energy, right? And we came into it and we were too yin without a yan base. And that yan base in the context of business is the core fundamentals of profit, of the blocking and tackling of business with the yin energy, sort of this feminine, not in terms of gender, but in terms of energy, like being the things that we build in. So it was a reminder to the company, like, we are a purpose-driven company, but we need to make money.
Well, I appreciate that comment. And let me pursue that a little bit, because you said you went from being an entrepreneur to being a CEO. What did that look like for you?
I'll tell you what it looked like for me is I'm actually not the CEO of the company. And as we grew, the last thing I wanted to grow like was the companies of old. And I always equate them to like Donald Draper from Mad Men with a hierarchical structure. And so we're actually moving to teal management and a teal organization, which is distributed authority. Hmm. But what it was sort of an acknowledgement like this is bigger than myself. This is an organization that is growing into a next stage and needs systems to support, 100% growth for the next couple of years.
Interesting. Kim, do you see companies like JP's that are mission driven, mission focused in this way, social good focused, really? Are you seeing that there's a pattern and that they structure their businesses differently, kind of the way JP described?
What I am seeing is that the collection of these types of companies, including B Corps, but also companies that are like B Corps, are really innovative in how they think about running their business. They are looking at the structure of the business. They're questioning a lot of assumptions about how business should be run. And as a result, we're seeing new ways of doing business that are propelling forward these companies from the traditional metrics. They're profitable, they're growing fast, but they're also having deep and powerful impacts on their primary stakeholders. They're creating truly good jobs. And as a result, they're really attractive to millennial employees. They are not only keeping the good employees that they have, but they're very attractive to new ones. And they're also creating really loyal customers, because the customers know, especially millennials, how to discern fakers from really good companies.
You know, that's one of the things, and we'll talk a little bit. I want to ask our CEO of Communications Refinery to make a quick comment, and we'll continue this afterwards. But this notion of fakers versus real companies, can customers really tell?
Yes, they can. And many customers, many people in the marketplace have been burned by greenwashing in the past. And
greenwashing meaning doing things that are environmentally friendly purposefully for that reason, right?
Yeah. Let's go do something good and let's go tell the world that we did something good. And the thing I like about B Corps is they're doing a lot of things good. And they're doing a lot of things authentically.
When we come back, I want to talk about this notion of authenticism. Authenticity, is that a word?
Authenticity.
Thank you. Authenticity. Thank you, Kim. And we'll talk more about that at Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor right after this.
CBS News Update in New Orleans. Mardi Gras fun turned to horror when a truck plowed through the crowd watching a parade. Looks like alcohol, not terror. Alleged drunk driver, more than two dozen hurt. EMS director Jeffrey Elder.
The ages range from approximately 3 or 4 years old. A small child. It's very stable. Doing fine. It's probably in their 30s. 21 that we transported to the hospital. There were an additional 7 persons that declined EMS treatment and transport.
And after the scene was cleared, the party started right up again. Reporter David Hammer says that's the Mardi Gras spirit.
The fact that the parade is continuing is not a surprise. There are incidents that happen, whether it's shootings or other incidents that have happened over the years during Mardi Gras parades, and the parades rarely stop.
The man behind the wheel, now in custody. CBS News Update, I'm Mike Sugarman.
710 KNUS invites you to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with Peter Boyles and the crew from 710 at our Boyles Blarney Blowout. Get your green on and come shake your shamrock on Thursday night, March 16th at the Proof Nightclub in Denver. Admission includes a great Irish buffet, including corned beef and cabbage, Irish stew, and more. For tickets and complete details, go to 710KNUS.com.
President Trump has a secret plan to change America. It's all in David Horowitz's number one bestseller, Big Agenda. It reveals 5 major predictions about Trump that have already come true, and 16 more soon to happen. Rush Limbaugh says you need Big Agenda. Newsmax calls it the best Trump book yet. Find out why the media hate Big Agenda. It's in bookstores everywhere. Or get our free offer at 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or BigAgenda411.com. That's BigAgenda411.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now. 1-800-400-9121. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-400-9121. Again, that's 1-800-400-9121.
Hey there, this is Eric Metaxas. Lately, I've been telling you about Liberty University's online degree programs. Liberty University is the world's largest Christian university with over 95,000 students studying around the world through Liberty's online programs. While there are a lot of universities who've jumped into online education, few can deliver on the promise of a quality education with such flexibility, and even fewer can actually point to a graduate of their online program like my friend Morgan from Nashville.
I did it. I actually got my degree from Liberty University. 2 degrees, actually. Not only has this process taught me self-discipline, I've also learned that it is never too late to fulfill your dreams. And I did it all online. I did it, and you can too.
Call Liberty University now at 800-424-9595. That's 800-424-9595, 800-424-9595, or visit liberty.edu/online. Flexible, affordable, possible. Liberty University Online.
Now, back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710, KNUS.
And welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. I want to thank our sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado, American Furniture Warehouse, and MicroStar Keg Logistics. All three of these are great Colorado companies. You know Community Banks of Colorado. They are very, very engaged in the entrepreneurial community, want to support entrepreneurs. MicroStar Keg Logistics, a great company that's helping Colorado's craft brewers, in fact, craft brewers around the country, to expand their distribution in some really unique ways. And, of course, everyone knows Jake Jabs at American Furniture Warehouse. What a great guy, and has built an amazing business here in Colorado, doing things the right way. And so, again, appreciate those three companies very much. Speaking now with Kim Kapunis, of, who's the director of B-Lab. She's also an investor in My Trail Company. I want to talk about My Trail Company in a little bit, Kim, because I know that's something that's sort of risen from the ashes of a company called GoLight that many of us know. So we'll talk about that. Also speaking with Kirby Myers, CEO of Communications Refinery, and J.P. Maxfield, who's the CEO of Waste Farmers. And both of their companies are B corporations. And one of the things that I wanted to speak about now coming back with Kirby of Communications Refinery is this notion of communications and because you help other companies that are driven by social responsibility to communicate, right?
Right.
So here's my question for you is there are fakers and there are real ones, companies that are really, truly driven by social causes, others that want to do it from a business perspective because they think it'll drive customer base. And as I look at this world, it seems like the marketplace is getting more and more full. I was going to use the word, I will use the word cluttered, with people who are, you know, driving messages around what they're doing good in the community and in the world. How do you help companies differentiate? If one of our listeners has one of those companies and wants to talk about it, how do you do it? So here's my big criticism. When I look at certain businesses, they say, for everything we sell, for every unit sold, we're going to donate X to this charity. Well, like, no, don't give my money. I'll give my money to charity. I just, you know, and how do you drive authenticity in your customers?
You know, it really comes back to the purpose. You know, what is the purpose of the business? And who are you trying to help? Who are you trying to serve? And when it comes to communicating that, being consistent in it, and being transparent in it. You know, what I tell a lot of folks is, and you know, some folks will say part of our money, part of our profit goes to certain causes or, and so that by being transparent, they're putting it out there. If you don't believe in that cause, okay, maybe I won't shop with you. But I also tell folks, if you put five different pieces out there, don't just talk about the three that you're knocking it out of the park. You know, there might be one that's going okay, and there might be one that's just not clicking.
Be more specific. Can you think of a client, or obviously you can't share some of that, but can you be more specific about advice you've given clients?
You know, I refer to Europeans are ahead of us on this, and having done some work in the craft beer industry myself, I kind of have also looked at European larger companies. Heineken, they put out their report, and they've got five or six key initiatives, and they red light, yellow light, green light them. And
they admit where they're not doing as well. They show where they're doing well.
Exactly. And the red light will say, why didn't we hit it? And what are we doing different? Or maybe perhaps we're going to put it aside. Or the yellow light is it's in process.
That's really interesting. What that makes me think about is that the difference in authenticity isn't what they're saying, it's what they're reporting back and how they're following up for customers. Kim, you're nodding.
Yep. I would say that there is not a single sustainable, truly sustainable company on the planet yet. And there's companies that are doing really well and really fantastic practices. We've talked about many of them today. And there are others that are really far behind. But this level of transparency about where you are on that journey is what is becoming expected. It's best practice now to be able to say, we're doing some things really well that are very innovative and really sustainable, and here's where we're missing it. And that level of transparency is where consumers are starting to evolve to say, I want to understand how where you are on that spectrum.
Can I be transparent? On
sure.
Another transparency?
Kirby, CEO of Waste Farmers, yeah.
No, JP.
Oh, JP, I'm sorry.
But that
JP
wasn't the Waste Farmers. That wasn't the transparent part. Yeah. I mean, it was transparent, but I'll be transparent and say I don't really care what the customers, you know, think about it because we're not doing it to sell them products. We're doing it because it's what authentically we believe in, and that's the core of what we're doing. So we don't do it to sell more product to customers. Like, in the end, it's because at the core it's what we believe.
But do you communicate your results to customers?
Not well. But
is it because you're not good at it, or you don't have time for it, or you just don't care?
We definitely, I think it's probably a combination of all three, less of the latter piece, the not caring in terms of like, we want that dialogue with consumers and our customers. But I think it's probably a resource issue more than anything else. But when I say I don't care, it's just to say that like, we're not standing up in class and, you know, gloating about our reports. We're doing the things that, you know, feel intuitively right for who we are.
Kim?
I would say, and that I love that about Waste Farmers. Waste Farmers is a true blue. They're a true believer, and they are leading edge. There are a lot of other companies that want to survive and want to grow and are, you know, kind of looking at it in a more traditional way. And the good news is that there is no longer a question about the business case for sustainability. There's demonstrable evidence from all of the credible sources, McKinsey, Harvard Business Review, Goldman Sachs. Even Goldman Sachs says there's a direct linear correlation between environmental and social good governance practices and a higher stock price.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously customers do care about these good practices and these levels of transparency around those practices.
But it could be that the demonstrated ROI is as much from the kinds of people you attract, the way you do business internally, as it is from the idea, from the notion that, you know, you're more sustainable, that you're creating less waste, that you're right. And it attracts maybe a different sort of mentality that, I don't know which is first, but maybe it doesn't matter.
I think all of the above. And, you know, I wanted to reference a question you asked earlier. There's a fantastic TED Talk by a Harvard Business School professor called Michael Porter. Many of you are familiar with him because of his theories on strategy. But he talks about one of the amazing things about the power of business and the profit motive is that because you have a profit motive, you have the capacity to scale, to grow. Mm-hmm. And that means if you're a business that's driven by a desire for positive impact on some particular stakeholder, that means your potential for positive impact is pretty much unlimited.
Because you're driving, because you're going to be growing.
Yes.
Growing provides you the resources you need to continue to
right.
do good. So let's talk, I'm going to shift gears because during the break, we talked a little bit about your business Go Light, which is that gone entirely?
It is gone entirely. Yes.
And now from Go Light, you know, you and your husband and others are creating something called MyTrail, right? Which mm-hmm. is a similar outdoor products kind
yes.
of company.
Yes. We like to think of it as all the good things that Goli did without the mistakes.
Well, you know, we all make mistakes, and that's I don't know that any really successful entrepreneur hasn't made lots of painful ones. I know I have, and so my question for you is, when you came out of the mistakes that were made at Goli, and now you're doing MyTrail company. And your B Corp. I mean, did that painful experience of GoLight change the way you approach business now at MyTrail?
Absolutely. You know, it's a similar shift to what JP went through in that we were very mission driven at GoLight. It was very much a labor of love. And we thought that if we could design really lightweight products and that were simple, elegantly simple and would change the experience of outdoor users so that they focused more on their experience of nature rather than the stuff on their back, mm-hmm. that we would get more people who became environmentalists. And it was very much about the philosophy of it. And it's still that for us. But I think in the midst of being so mission-driven and so focused on that, we sometimes lost sight of the fact that we needed to survive and we needed to ship product and we needed to be profitable. And we never really got there. So I think we have a much more laser-focused and disciplined approach to this new business so that we can survive. And I will say that MyTrail is small and we're doing it in a very careful and disciplined way. It's got fantastic products, some of our best sellers designs from the GoLight realm. And we're also trying to do it from a very values-based standpoint. It's not a certified B Corp yet. It's very young, but it is a Colorado benefit corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a new legal form that's now available in 32 states. And at Kirby's company, Communications Refinery, is a benefit corporation.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that when we come back after the break. The other thing I want to ask from a purely business perspective when we come back is there are some market segments like outdoor products that are dominated by companies that talk about their social good mission. I want to talk about competing in those markets. Again, this is Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, and we'll be back after this.
News Talk 710, KNUS.
Pro Business Colorado with me, Dave Tabor, is a show featuring world-class entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose to be here in Colorado. Sign up at proco360.com for announcements of each week's guests, to suggest guests, and to find past shows featuring successful entrepreneurs and business experts, all whose souls are grounded here in Colorado. Again, that's proco360.com to sign up, proco360.com.
Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor, Sunday mornings at 8 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
I'm Colorado Treasurer Walker Stapleton, and I want you to join me in the fight to put term limits on the U.S. Congress in Washington. We can't afford career politicians more concerned about their next election than doing what's right. That's why we need term limits on U.S. Congress. And this isn't a partisan issue. President Obama and President Trump both agree on term limits. Now is the time to get something done on the issue. We have a historic opportunity right here in Colorado to have our state legislators add our voice to the growing list of states calling for a constitutional amendment to term limit Congress. I invite Republicans, Democrats, and unaffiliated voters across Colorado to join me, Walker Stapleton, on March 9th at Colorado's Capitol to rally for U.S. term limits. Join us.
For more information, visit denverrally.com. Paid for by U.S. Term Limits.
Hey there, Dan Cicchini, owner of Dunright Kitchens and Baths, Windows and Doors. There's absolutely no reason why right now can't be your time to get started on that beautiful new kitchen or that awesome bath you've always wanted. See what our family can do for your family. 800-362-8370.
Question, would you seat your three-year-old child on a windowsill? And would you seat them in a car seat that's not the correct one? Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. More info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We now return to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on News Talk 710 KNUS.
All right. Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on 710 KNUS. This show will be available via podcast tomorrow. You can find this show and other great shows at proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. Hey, next week, I'll be joined by my, roughly once a month guest, Ed Seelover of the Denver Business Journal. And Ed's beat includes tourism and hospitality. So we're going to be joined by two industry entrepreneurs, Paul Laurie of several companies, Smithsonian Student Adventures, Walking Tree Travel, Invisible City, and Silver Spork Social is going to be with me, as is Sean Smiley of State 38 Distillery. So that'll be a fun show. Make sure you join me next week at 8 o'clock on Sunday, 710 KNUS. Again, this podcast and others available at proco360.com. Again, proco360.com. And let's continue our final segment with Kim Kapunis of Direct. I think I pronounce your name differently every dang time. So Kim is with B-Lab, investor, advisor of Mitrail Company. We're going to talk about that a little more. And many of you know of the company GoLight. Kim was one of the founders of that company. I'm also joined by Kirby Myers, CEO of Communications Refinery, and by J.P. Maxfield, CEO of Waste Farmers. All three, you guys are all connected through this notion of, or really it's more than a notion, an organization called B-Lab, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. Yeah, in fact, we're part of a community of companies in Colorado. You've made the case really well, Dave, that this is a unique ecosystem. People have proactively chosen to start their businesses in Colorado. And Colorado has one of the highest concentrations of certified B corporations in the world and public benefit corporations in the world. And it says a lot about something truly extraordinary is going on in the state of Colorado. People want to build businesses that are good actors.
You know, I think I like the way you phrase that as good actors, doing good, because sometimes that word is exchanged or just swapped with the word sustainability. And I think sustainability has a different tone to it than being a good actor, doing good, supporting the one's world. I don't know. What's your take? Do you get any comments about using that kind of phrasing? And actually, I should probably ask our communications guy.
Well, sustainability kind of has some baggage. People think of it as more environmental, all environmental, and, you know, go hug a tree. But what the B Corp movement and, as Kim said, we've all there's a very healthy community in the state in this. We've all committed to the B impact assessment, and we put our own companies, and it's a rigorous assessment that covers so much more than do you hug a tree. It covers your governance. It covers your community impact. It covers your environmental impact, mm-hmm. and it covers your business model.
Yeah, it also covers how you treat and develop employees, doesn't it? And you know, to me, it makes sense. I go back to JP from Waste Farmers, and I'm intrigued by what you said, JP, because you said you talk about, I love on your website, idealism and capitalism can coexist. And as the host of this show, I so believe that, and I so believe that. That well-run companies, conscious, those with a good conscience, can do greater things in our nation than our government can. And, you know, so, and you say, I need to make money. So, I mean, do you ever get pushback from that?
No. I think we do, but I think we just sort of take it in and smile. But I think you mentioned an important word in there, which was company. And I think in the world of startup, you know, events and entrepreneurialism is like the, you know, next greatest thing since law school. You know, I think that company, and you look at the great ones, and Jim Collins talks about them in Good to Great and all the other books that he's written, like, this isn't any novel new concept, right? Like, these are the way great companies were started. And for us, when we started, we wanted to start a company, which in the context of the startup entrepreneurial ecosystem is sort of a weird idea of like building something for the long term and building something that that can last. And so, you know, I've got three older brothers, and sometimes, you know, you get this, you know, like I use that to say that sometimes like, oh, cute, look what the little brother's doing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And as a business doing good, it's like, oh, cute. But you might think we're cute, but make no mistake that I want all $155 billion that Cargill has, and we're going to get it. And we're competitive, and we're driven by profit, but not to, you know, buy fancy cars and big houses, but to create jobs, create scale, and create impact on a broader level.
Boy, he's a great spokesperson for you, isn't he? I know. I want to talk about the notion of this is, again, from a practical perspective. It's hard to get good talent these days. In fact, Timothy, I'm going to ask you to play a quick clip. Can you play 87, please?
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now. Would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
So that, of course, was William Wallace in Braveheart. And it seems, right? I mean, what a great employee motivator that guy is. But he's, I mean, when you think about the kinds of employees you're attracting, are they driven that way? Kim, you're smiling too. Yeah.
Are they driven that way?
Well, I mean, are they, are you recruiting them based on this mission? And are they attracted to your company to based on that mission? Are they willing to die, essentially?
You know, I would say that not universally true, but it's largely true that the kinds of people that seek out working for companies like B Corporations want to work in an environment where they are supported, empowered, where they have good benefits and a good job, a job that they would want to keep and not disappear in a year. And as a result, the companies that act like that are attracting incredibly high talent.
And it seems like companies like your three are really attracting talent based on mission rather than skills. To what extent, if you had skills on one end of a continuum and mission attractiveness on the other end, where do those employees fall?
So I can answer that because we're kind of going through that. And actually, an advisor and a friend said from 0 to 10, you're sort of defining the culture, 0 to 10 million, and from 10 million on, you're sort of stuck with it. And we defined it in terms of, you know, we always had a purpose, but I think the culture of the organization sort of evolves and you know, you sort of organically come into it. And I think the things that we're finding from our own experience is that definitely an attractiveness to the purpose and a fit with culture far exceeds hires based on skill.
And I would contend that, you know, just step back and say, what are you talking to potential employees about? Are you talking about we want to make a bunch of money and sell? Or are you talking about get involved with something here? We're part of we have a purpose. This is what we're trying to do. These are the communities we're supporting and we want to support. And hey, what community do you support? Can we incorporate that and work that in as part of our broader mission? Again, as opposed to we want to grow really big and we want to sell. Yep. And anyone who holds shares will profit.
Make
and
a lot.
Maybe you will have a nice salary for a couple of years and you'll be good.
Again, you don't need to be a B Corp to do these kinds of business practices. But if you want to learn some from some really amazing companies, look at the community of B Corporations. If you look at, you know, we have about 90 B Corps here in Colorado. Look at New Belgium Brewing. There's a reason they're such a successful B beer company, it's not just because they make great beer, but they have an incredible culture that is to be emulated by all sorts of businesses, not just breweries. And the community of B Corps here in Colorado even gathers together and does community service together. Hmm. So service and giving back to the community is something that's at the heart of these businesses. We've done service work at Food Bank of the Rockies and Growing Gardens and a whole host of other.
So I've been to your website, to B Corp, and it seems like there's a great number of companies that are involved in apparel, food, beverage, things that sort of attract smaller and more novel, niche-y kinds of companies. Are there opportunities? I mean, what if somebody owned a plumbing business? Or what if somebody owned, you know, a whatever?
Yep.
Are you seeing some interesting B Corps spin out and have success in things that are outside
of
this?
You know, I think one of the reasons you see some of the CPG or consumer goods products companies kind of put forward is because they're recognized brands, the Ben & Jerry's and the Patagonia's of the world. But B Corporations come from every sector imaginable, and good companies come from it. You can run a great engineering company or a great law firm. In fact, here in Colorado, Moy White Law Firm is a certified B Corp, and they are a really good company. They have great employment practices, give a lot back to the community. There's a B Corporation called Cascade Engineering in Michigan. Look them up. They do amazing work. And, you know, it's if you're not a sexy consumer goods products company and you're running a plumbing company or whatever, these are the kinds of you can put in place any of these kinds of practices.
I would think.
What about Best for Colorado?
Yes, and I was thank you very much, Kirby. So one thing that you might be interested in if you're growing and building a business is we have a new campaign here in Colorado called Best for Colorado. So companies strive to be best in the world. Hmm. We want to have them strive to be best in the world, but also best for the world. And that starts in our local communities. In the state of Colorado, we have a new campaign called Best for Colorado, bestforco.com. And you can start with just taking the Best for Colorado challenge. You don't have to take the full B impact assessment. Mm-hmm. You can just take that short assessment. It takes about 20 to 30 minutes, and it'll ask you a variety of questions about how you run your business, and it'll give you good ideas around how you can improve and get on that journey.
That's an interesting idea. By the way, if you've just joined us, the voice you just heard was Kim Kaponis of B-Lab. She's the director of B-Lab, which sort of which certifies and brings together companies that are B corporations. Also, I'm joined in the studio by Kirby Meyer, CEO of Communications Refinery, and by J.P. Maxfield, CEO of Waste Farmers. And one of the comments I guess I have about that is that if you're not a consumer package, a consumer products company that where it seems like everyone is, you know, all the new companies seem to be springing up. If you're a B2B or you're a traditionally a different kind of, you know, a company that works within, I guess, a world where you don't really care about, if you are the one company driven by social good, think it seems like you could really drive attractiveness among employees. You could really carve out a big sector within this customer base maybe that's different from everyone else.
I think so. I work with a couple clients who are not in the spaces you mentioned, and they're not B Corps, they're not benefit corporations, but they do a lot of good things. And I think a lot of what is kind of evolving is education, and really, and the Best for Colorado is a great example of that, really getting out and making people understand that you can put, you know, more definition around what are you doing good? You know, I work with clients who have good hiring practices, who have good sourcing practices. And if I just walk in cold and say, hey, you know, aren't you this? They might say, no, we just do the right thing. And that's what comes down to.
In fact, let me wrap up with this. I'm going to ask Kim for a final comment on this. Is it more fun to run a company that's driven with a broader agenda?
Well, I would actually ask the entrepreneurs right here, but my short answer is heck yeah.
I think it depends on the day, but definitely.
Well, thank you. Again, we're going to wrap up today's show. I've been speaking with Kim Kaponis, director of B-Lab, investor and advisor in My Trail Company, and co-founder, CEO, and chief sustainability officer at Go Light. At B-Lab, Kim's leading a collaborative effort to make Colorado the leader in responsible business practices. Also, thanks, guys, for joining me. Kirby Meyer, CEO of Communications Refinery, and J.P. Maxfield, CEO of Waste Farmers. Appreciate you guys being. We've been talking about businesses succeeding by measuring and improving their impact on workers, communities, and the environment, what you can learn from that. Be sure to check out today's show via podcast. Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor is available on SoundCloud or on iTunes or straight from my website at proco360.com. Sign up to get email notices and register. Again, that's proco360.com.